Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Once again, I want to remind you to take advantage of that DiveAssure.com special, 15% off with the special program we're offering during the month of August. They've been nice enough to offer Scuba Radio listeners 15% off any of their multi or single dive accident packages and travel accident packages. It's a phenomenal deal. And all you have to do is go to diveassure.com/scuba radio. There's a link to it at scubaradio.com, but take advantage of it before it runs out because it's only for the month of August. And 15% off your dive accident insurance or travel packages that they offer. That's unheard of. I don't know if anyone's ever offered this type of stuff before, and it's very kind of them to offer that to you, a Scuba Radio listener, exclusively. So there you go. All right, so for hour two, we have kind of opened up the floodgates and brought in the Scuba Radio whack pack, so to speak. Casey the Tobacco Nut, Jerry the Diver Guy, Eric Douglas, Pete from Scuba Board is with us as well. Yes, we got a full crew. Guys, all right, first off, though, let's go to Pete because it's been a while. You know, Pete has been on the mend there at Scuba Board. Last time we spoke to him, he had just gotten back from Fiji. He broke his leg stepping in a hole, and you're repaired and you're on the mend. You're actually already diving. Is that right, Pete, or what?
That is right, and I'll say that broken legs are not all they're cracked up to be.
The puns. Get ready, boys. Yeah. Well.
Anyway, no, I started my diving back in a big way.
Yeah.
I got in my first dive, my first cave dive, my first circuit in a cave dive, and my first rebreather cave dive all at the same time, all the same day. It was awesome.
Really?
It was great.
You didn't like just ease back into it. You were like, you jumped in head first, so to speak, I guess, right?
Well, I did a giant stride.
Okay. All right. So you wasn't head
first. You broke your leg in a hole, and you polished it up by diving in a hole.
Exactly. This one, I didn't get hurt my leg.
Well, even with
that it has affected my ability to keep my legs up just from fatigue. You know, a cave diver, you know, we have to keep our feet way up high, our fins way up high, so we don't floof out the cave.
Yeah, and don't silt it out.
That was kind of tough. I didn't really have any silt outs, but I had little darker areas than what I normally would have had just because I can't get that left leg up, and the right leg wants to match what the left leg does.
Hmm. So you got like a droopy leg, or what is it, a lazy leg?
A lazy leg.
Okay.
Matches the rest of me now.
Yeah, what's that, Eric? Say it again.
I said physical therapy.
Yeah, that's what it takes. Well, therapy
is
diving,
isn't
it? I
was doing my physical therapy.
That is. Yeah, exactly. I mean, are you doing like
aqua therapy? It was great.
Are you doing like a frog kick and doing that kind of thing?
Yes.
All right.
Put some floaties on. I'm doing a modified frog kick.
A modified. So how so?
Yeah, my knees are bent, and I'm actually, the frog kick is actually happening above my plane, but in the same plane.
Hmm.
Away from the bottom.
Okay. All right.
And you know, it's a little bit more difficult to maintain neutral buoyancy in a rebreather when you're adjusting levels.
Yeah.
In Jenny Springs, where I was diving, it's constantly up and down. So you're having to anticipate. It's not like an open circuit where you could take a deep breath and rise or exhale and go down. you got to anticipate how much oxygen you're going to put in. Do I vent a little bit of dill? Am I going to adjust my BC? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're juggling the whole thing. And I never hit the ceiling. I never hit the ground. But I just could not keep that left leg up to save my life. And I didn't silt out any place, but it was definitely needs room to work on.
Well, so you were yo-yoing just a little bit up and down.
Just a little bit.
Just a little. Okay.
My favorite part of Peacock is a place called Nicholson Tunnel, which if you're a cave diver, you know Peacock, you know, is the siltiest tunnel in the system. And, you know, it's full of things like isopods and the things that eat the isopods, the blind crawdads.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really cool place to see a lot of life for a cave.
Yeah.
Usually a cave, you might see a stray fish. He's lost trying to figure his way out. But these guys are troglodytes. They actually live in the cave the whole time. And they're cool to see. And I probably saw 30 crawdads and 50, 60 isopods.
Now, is there all this silt there because these isopods and the crawfish are pooping all over the place or something, or what?
I think the isopods are there feeding on the silt. The silt gets washed in from the surface. You know, you have floods, you have the water going up and down. And the Nicholson Tunnel is a very, very low flow tunnel. So when the silt gets in there, it just stays.
Hmm.
And it's leaf litter. It's stuff that's decomposing.
Muck.
So these isopods are little. It's muck.
Yeah.
These isopods are in there helping it to decompose. And the crawdads are in there helping to decompose the isopods.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know, one attracts the other. And when you swim by an isopod, they're usually in the muck. And they will, when they're disturbed, they shoot up about 18 inches. Looks like a little rocket coming to shoot you down, you know?
Yeah, what is...
They're about 3/8 of an inch.
What do they look like? Because I don't even know. I don't...
Little white worms.
Little white
fuzz.
So you're diving with worms in the High Springs area of Florida. Okay.
Well, they don't attack humans.
All right. Well, until you come across the big one, like in the movie Tremors, then every once
there
in a while.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, Jerry and I are going to go do this Labor Day weekend. CJ is well going to join us, and Dr. Doug's going to take us over there for a cavern course. So I think we're going to start in Jenny Springs, and then he mentioned maybe going to Paradise or something on day two or something like that. That's near. Is how far is that away from Jenny Springs? You know, that's in your neck of the woods.
Oh, a long ways. That's probably 2 hours from Jenny.
Is it? Well, why does he want to go
Paradise
that far?
Paradise Springs is down near Bellevue, Florida, just south of Ocala. And Jenny Springs is 20 minutes from my place, 30 minutes from my place.
Well, we'll start with you, and then probably one day is all you'll be able to handle, knowing our crew.
To me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I want to see it. I want to see you guys get floofed.
What does that mean exactly? And I'm afraid to ask. And
is it like a floof, really? Kind of like your little tutu?
It's like a mental... lapse of judgment, and all of a sudden you're wallowing in the mud and the mire and the beer, and it floofs, and all of a sudden you have clouds and clouds of silt.
Okay. And, is this a technical term, or did you just make this up on the fly there, Pete? I'm a little confused.
I've used the term for many, many years. Yeah. I'm not sure that I'm the one who invented it or not, but that's a possibility.
Okay. Well, if you say it
enough.
The more
technical version would be silt out, but I like floof.
I don't know if I like floof.
Floof explains it just perfectly.
Well, when you get
a little floof.
We get a three-way guy dive team, and you say, hey, what are you doing? We're going to go floof together. No.
We're going to get floofed. That sounds better.
Yeah.
And see, when you're in a cave.
Depth. Yeah, at depth. Yeah, right.
When you're in a cave on a rebreather, and you have all these students out there, you simply turn off your lights, so you're the golem in the cave. It's great. They have no idea where you're at. You're just watching them, and you're shadowing them the whole time.
I love helping
out with cavern classes.
Oh, wait, are you going to you spook them when they're not paying attention? Could you sneak up on them? Is that what you're saying?
That has happened, not intentionally.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, the rebreather is going to be kind of silent, and if you get off in a corner where it's kind of dark and you get in the shadow and you pop out, hey, and then like, and then, you know, everyone's... making tons of bubbles.
Are you doing cave or cavern?
That Greg would be a poo dummy.
Could be. Could be. We'd add to that silt out, that's for sure. Yeah.
Greg, are you doing cave or cavern?
We're doing a cavern course. We're not doing cave.
Well, then you're going to be in the light.
Right. Yeah, and that just means there's ambient light available, Pete, or that you never lose sight of the surface.
That means that you should be your primary light source in a cavern is the sun.
Right.
So you'll always be able to see the sun. Now, you may not see much of it, but you'll always be able to have the sun there. And your lights that you carry in cavern, you must carry at least two more.
Yeah.
I recommend three.
Those
are actually considered your secondary lights, your backup lights.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. We're going to learn a few things before we plan for our cavern dive with Dr. Doug Ebersol. And we got more with the crew next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You know, I don't have to tell you folks about scuba diving. So that'll save some time.
I love all the fishies, all the sharkies too. When I see one come towards me, I swim like you. I love all the friends down there, hey, don't you know? There's a friend of mine, the very popular Jacques Cousteau.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Somebody emailed me years ago and said, is he saying die with me? No, it's dive. He's honestly saying dive. But it is Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. So, you know, sometimes it makes sense to point that out, I guess. All right, look, I am Greg the Dive Master. I got, you know, Casey the Tobacco Nut, Jerry the Diver Guy, Eric Douglas, and Pete from Scubaboard rounding out the crew right now. We're getting ready to do a cavern course. Jerry the Diver Guy, myself, and CJ We're going to do this with Dr. Doug over Labor Day weekend, and we're going to be in Pete's neck of the woods, right there in the High Springs area, over by Jenny Springs. And I'm looking forward to it. I've never done a cavern course. I've kind of dabbled a little bit, not by choice, years ago. And it kind of, I had a bad experience, and I was like, I don't want to do any of this cave cavern stuff, really. But I've been tempted to go back. And finally, you know, Dr. Doug, he goes, hey, Greg, you know, if you want, I'll certify you guys on a cavern course. And I was like, hey, this sounds like a great idea. Yeah, another excuse to get wet and, just do some kind of con ed, you know, continuing education to sharpen skills. Because, yeah, you learn a lot about running reels and what you could apply to ocean diving and wrecks and stuff, right, Pete? That'd be fair.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a lot of kudos for doing that. Caves are the silent killers of the scuba diving world because you don't know you're getting into trouble
right
until it's too late.
So true.
Okay, and, yeah. And you know, it's just so important. If you want to go look in a cave, don't do it willy-nilly. Get the training. Mm-hmm. And in addition to playing with reels and learning about the dark side has cookies and we have arrows and things like that and how to use them and when to use them, you're going to have some skills that you have in open water that are going to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Your trim, your kicks, they're going to have to be perfect because the environment demands it. You know, you heard us talking about I had a lazy left leg. Well, why? You never hear about anyone complaining about that in open water because you're not silting and floofing the area.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really be cognizant of that. And you also have to be a lot more aware of your buddy, your situational awareness. You have to know where your buddy's at. He has to know where you're at. You have to be in constant communication. You have to be aware of your air. You have to be aware of so much.
Yeah.
And it just makes you an all-around better diver and far more prepared for that Insta buddy who doesn't know what he's doing.
Right. Well, you know, I'll go ahead and repeat this story that happened to me years ago and why it kind of turned me off to the whole thing. And, you know, even without that, I'm not a big fan of the cave stuff. Like you said, you know, a lot of stuff can go wrong, and we hear stories here and there. But I don't, I don't discount anybody doing it, and it's a phenomenal activity. And I'm not saying I would never do it. But the reason I've been kind of soured to the idea over the years is when I got my dive master training, me and one of the other candidates that were going through the course towards the end of the class decided that we would do a dive in Blue Springs. He wanted to go down and just do a fun dive. And I'm like, yeah, what the heck? We got time. And so we went down and, you know, how they have the sign set up, don't go past this thing, this sign. It has the skull and crossbones with...
And what did it say? If you don't want to die,
right?
Don't go past that sign.
Yeah, they had the skull and crossbones guy, the Grim Reaper, the whole thing. And like, don't do this unless you're cave certified or cavern certified or whatever. Of course, we were not. But we were dive masters in training. And he looks at me. He's like, come on, guys. It's right there. Let's go. We can go just another 20 feet and go right there. And it was crystal clear water. It was Florida Springs. It looked very inviting. I can't leave him alone. And dopey me let him convince me to follow him down there a little bit. And sure enough, just as you would expect, we get down there another 20 feet down. It's still clear, but as soon as we get there, we hit this flow. And it picks us up and twists us all around. Next thing you know, we're rolling around in the flow. It's lucky we didn't, you know, hit the ceiling and pop our heads or something like that. But visibility went to crap instantly. And it went from crystal clear to like just diving in soup. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is how it's going to end. You know, all this stuff starts going through your head. And you know, we're down to like 100 feet too. So we're at a fairly deep level of diving where narcosis could kick in. Now, at the time, I didn't really think about it. But, you know, all these emotions start going through your head when this happens. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. This is not good. What to do? And I settled down to the ground, kind of got my bearings, and I looked around, and I could just see the light still in the distance from the opening of the spring. And I just crawled literally out of it. But I was very anxious. I was very nervous. And I didn't like it at all. As soon as I crawled up about, you know, to 90 feet or so, I got out of the narcosis zone, And because I remember looking down at my gauge going, oh my gosh, I got 2 minutes of deco. Holy crap, oh my God, you know, and I'm freaking out. And that wasn't the case at all, but I think I was a little narc too. You know what I mean?
Well, and Greg, when you're in that situation, you don't use just a little bit more air. You use a ton more air. You could use 5 or 6 times the air you've been consuming so far, and you can drain that tank without even realizing it.
Yeah, I'm sure I could have. But, you know, I didn't really suck my tank dry, but I did get really nervous, and I think I was a little narked. But it was just a bad experience, and I was so mad at myself. I mean, I was annoyed with him, too. Don't get me wrong.
Aren't you usually narked, though, even on the surface?
Yeah, that's usually alcohol-induced, so it has nothing to do with diving.
Greg, do you know how many times I've written articles about people who did exactly what you did and didn't? Come out of it?
Yeah. Oh, of course. I'm not kidding. I thought about it at that point in time. I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm going to be one of these statistics. Stupid me. How could we call that dumb?
A trust me dive. When you are relying on someone else's skill, someone else's knowledge, even someone else's equipment, that's a trust me dive. And Eric will definitely agree with me on this. There's nothing down there worth dying for.
No, no.
No, sir.
Yeah, but you know.
Yes, sir, I agree with you. No, there's nothing worth dying for.
Right, absolutely. You know, and you got to understand, at the time, I mean, I went right from open water into dive master. So I only had like 60 dives at the time. So I was very much in the beginning of my dive career. I had no business doing any of this stuff. But it was being green and not really knowing what you're doing. And I share it with the hope that you listening right now won't follow in my fin ticks in that regard. And keep trying to get better. Larry, you know, a good diver's always learning, as they say at Dive Training Magazine. We got more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Casey the Tobacco Nut, Jerry the Diver Guy, Eric Douglas, Pete from Scuba Board, rounding out the crew right now as we talk so, you know, we're going to talk about this cavern course because, you know, I explained the story that happened to me. It kind of turned me off to it, but I've always wanted to get back in into the spring diving, and Dr. Doug has offered to finally certify me in cavern.
He's awesome, dude.
He is. He's a very impressive guy. And he likes
He's listening. One of my moderators on Scuba Board.
Oh, is he? Well, he should be.
He's one of my medical moderators.
So he's on Scuba Board, and like when someone says something he doesn't like, say, shut the hell up! Get the hell out of here!
He's not like you, Greg.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm not one of those, I guess.
He's diplomatic and subtle.
Yeah. What fun
Very
is that?
Very diplomatic. Yeah. Not so subtle.
He'll just rip your heart out and shake it at you.
Okay. And replace it with a monkey heart or something. I don't know. but God bless him for it. He has the patience of Job, as he will need dealing with this crew, I have a feeling. But have you ever done anything like that, Jerry? Have you never done have you done much spring diving like at Jenny or any of those other places?
Yeah, I've been to several of the springs down there, and yes, I have been in the caverns, but not in the cave systems.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you get cavern certified, does that open up some other areas at Jenny, for instance, that we'll be able to dive legally, so to speak?
First of all, you'll be able to have a light in your possession.
Ah, right. Okay.
Okay. So you can have a light in your possession and no one yelling at you. Mm-hmm. However, in a cavern dive, anytime you do anything with caves, you have 3 lights. In a cavern dive, your primary light source is the sun. Mm-hmm. You always have to be able to see the sun. Your other lights are considered to be backup lights. So you'll be able to dive within the sun in that area, and you're going to learn, if you happen to stray out of the sun, how to get back really quickly.
Okay. Yeah, get rid of that anxiety of like, oh no, everything got silted out. What do I do? What do I do? Yeah, we're going to learn about that and talk more about it next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You saved Leonardo DiCaprio's life. Now, is this a true story?
It is a true story. We were on a diving trip in the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah,
he's
and you're in the water with him.
So we're in the water, and after a while, I'm looking around, and I realize he's just not there. He's not around, and we're almost at the end of the dive, and I'm just thinking I should just go check on him. So I start swimming out, like, deep into the ocean, and way off in the murk, like a shark, you know, I see something, and then I see it's Leo. And he's coming toward me, and I can see from like 50 yards away, his eyes are like this big, and he's going like this.
So that's not good either way. I don't know what that means, but I'm like, I don't know, that's not good.
I had the horrible instinct to let him get close to me and then like pull back, like take the extra thing and just
what's
be like,
wrong with you?
No, but I didn't.
Edward, don't do
I didn't. So I give it to him, and he's like,
gave him
so
oxygen.
So we did the buddy breathe thing, and we go up, And he's like falling all over me, like, oh, buddy, you saved my life. You saved me. But, and it's not what I think
about.
Life. Yeah. Yeah, but.
Well, that's good. Good for you. You're a buddy. The buddy system, you actually did it. You're a buddy.
Let me know the truth before I dive right into you. Before I dive right into you. And before I dive right into you.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And yeah, my buddy is going to be Jerry the Diver Guy here in a couple weeks when we do this cavern course. And that music will be going on in the back of my mind when we dive together. And hopefully we won't fluff together. Or what is it? What are we? We don't want to floof or fluff or what is it?
Floof. We will not be good at that, Greg.
You're a fluffer.
You do not want Jerry fluffing you.
No. Okay.
And remember, there's nothing you can't do underwater. Just never hold your breath.
Okay, exactly. Right. Okay.
Watch out for cave trolls. I'll cut your air off, Greg.
Okay. Cave trolls? What do you mean cave trolls?
Trolls are in every cave. Everybody knows this.
Okay. All right. Those mythical creatures are crawling around down there someplace, huh?
You're in the cave and you know something's watching you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
It's cave troll.
They are a little foreboding, some of the sites
sometimes.
Like that. Yeah.
Sometimes it turns out to be me on a rebreather with my lights off watching you, but it's a cave troll.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now,
just remember, the caves and caverns,
yeah,
you don't think they're narrow and small. Paradise, where you're going, you're going to basically go along the top of the cavern, but it can be as deep as 100, 120 feet to the bottom. It's
really
a huge cavern.
Now, is that really clear, though, like a spring flood type thing?
Crystal clear. Hmm. Yeah.
Wait till you see some of the fossils up there. At your safety stop, if you look up, and I don't know if it's missing. I haven't found it the last couple of times, but there was a sand dollar up there that had to be a good 12 inches across. I mean, just
really?
Huge.
Wow.
And about 50 feet down, there's an iguana skeleton that you sometimes can find, sometimes can't. It really blends in there. Hmm. But back when we had marine iguanas here in Florida.
Interesting.
Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you first jump into paradise, the dome that you kind of land on, isn't that a mastodon skull?
No. They think that there's a piece of agatized rock as you're going in, and they claim that to be a whale bone. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
It's a pretty piece of rock, but I'm not so sure it's a whale bone.
Maybe it's the top of an alien spaceship.
Could be. You know, but there's so many fossils there. And so we know two rules that you must obey anytime you enter a Florida cave. Take only pictures. Leave only bubbles is the first thing. Don't take anything out of the cave.
Right.
And don't deface the cave. Don't put you are here because you will be shamed across the universe and back. And Mr. Lawman will be hunting your butt down.
Yeah. When you see those stories.
Nice
online. It's crazy what people do sometimes. You just shake
Greg,
your head.
You can't take your spray paint in.
No, I'm not doing that. I've never done that. I would never do that. Don't even say it, Jerry. Don't even think it.
Hey, Greg, to put it in perspective,
yeah,
Paradise Springs, you could put four semis side by side and probably another two on top of each of those four into the room you're going to go down there, and it's 100 feet to the bottom from there.
No, but I thought that was the one.
It's just massive.
Isn't that the one
massive
on private property, though, too, that you have?
It is.
And that it's that big. I didn't realize that. But interesting. See, I've been over to Blue Springs, obviously. I've been to, what's the other one over there? Well, Devil's Den. And I've
Devil's
done that
Den,
back
Blue
in the
Grotto.
Day. And 40 Fathom, when Hal used to run it.
40 Fathom.
Right. So I've been to those, but I never got my over. I've been to Jenny Springs, but I've never actually been in the swimming
area. You never
area.
Been in the ballroom?
I haven't. So this will be a new thing. So I'm looking forward to going to, you know, for a couple reasons.
Are you going to Jenny Springs or are you going to Peacock Springs? Are you going to Jenny Springs?
I think he had mentioned going to Jenny Springs the first day. And doing, you know, the first part of the cavern dive stuff there. And then he mentioned maybe Paradise. So
I think I may have said Jenny Springs where I had my dives earlier. I meant Peacock. I was in the Peacock system, not in the Jenny system.
Okay, but Jenny's
Peacock's
big.
A lot quieter.
Well, yeah, Jenny's big. It's busier, I'm sure, because it's very popular.
A lot more flow, too.
Is there? Okay. But there's a...
Yeah, a lot more flow. Peacock, I mean, Paradise has no flow.
Okay, but Jenny is also a big ballroom area, too. It's big as far as space-wise, isn't it?
It is, and it's a great place because it's the ballroom, you can actually swim there as an open-water diver. They've sanitized it to where there's no places where you can really screw in and get in there and get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so they allow open-water diving in the ballroom. And we actually have host dives. We have our mega dives in the fall and in the spring. We actually do galaxy dives in that ballroom.
Right. That's where you take the glow sticks and crack them open or something and turn it into some kind of underwater rave for New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, we do it right around Halloween and right around April Fool's Day.
Really? April Fool's Day? Any excuse to be foolish, I guess, is what it is.
We call it the Fool Mega Dive.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, who knows? I mean, Halloween will be here sooner than we know it. Maybe we'll have to participate.
I'll be out there.
After we do this. Now, Eric Douglas, author extraordinaire, you're cavern certified already. Is that right?
That is correct.
So you got this done years ago, but you never pursued taking it to the next level. You know,
I enjoyed it. I think it's fascinating. I love looking at pictures like Pete takes, but no, that was something I said, yeah, that's really cool, but that's far enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always thought, though, that cavern certification is kind of like the gateway drug to cave diving.
But it can be, and it's an expensive drug, too.
Well, true. Right. But it could get you hooked if you end up really enjoying that.
But it could also be the wake up call that this is not for you.
True.
You know, for me, and we were talking about this during the break, that the skills you learn in cavern apply to so much else for like wreck diving, which is something I do enjoy in penetrating wrecks, that sort of thing.
But
you learn reels, you learn fin kicks and that kind of stuff that apply to so many things. And really, for me, it's the same as taking a rescue diver class. It just improves your overall level of diving. You learn to control yourself so much better, and you learn to think about what's around you so much better.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. What do you think, Pete?
I agree with that 100%. It just focuses you as a diver. Mm-hmm. All those skills you have been working on, you're trying to get to where, you know, you have your breathing down so your trim is right and all that, you're forced to do it because of the environment. You don't want to be a floofer. You don't want to hit your head on the top of the ceiling.
Right.
You want to be right in the middle like a fish. And if you can do it in the cave, you could do it out in the big open water.
Now, what about the difference between doing a cavern or even a cave course, but then taking it to the next level with the rebreather stuff, which is what you're doing now? Because that's really the right way to do a cave if you're going to penetrate
baby steps,
like that.
Brother,
right?
Baby steps.
I know. But
exactly. To get to cave, for most people, you take a cavern course, you take an intro to cave course, you take an apprentice course, and then you take a full cave course.
Mm-hmm.
And now you become rebreather certified. Go get 100 hours on that rebreather and then marry the two. Now there's some shortcuts in there, and people are always trying to take your money and make it easy. Don't go that route. Take the harder route. Take the road less traveled, if you would, and learn it as you go, because there ain't nothing down there worth dying for.
No.
Do it safe. Yeah. Do it right. Learn it right.
Yeah, make a few mistakes. You know, fluff things up a little bit there with Jerry the Diver Guy and CJ.
No.
Make some mistakes.
Don't fluff things up.
No, well, I'm just saying, if you're going to make
into a tsunami guy,
if you're going to make a mistake, make it then, not when you have a rebreather, is my,
I often say that during my apprentice, I died twice in Little River Spring. And people go, well, you're here. He said, yeah, my instructor allowed me to make two huge mistakes, both which could have killed me if I didn't have my instructor there as a safety valve.
All right, well, we're going to have to get to the bottom of that, and we'll do it next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spider-webbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Jackie and Peter are fun. They go to concerts. They are both getting their scuba licenses.
Hey, don't like scuba people.
Uh-huh.
I'm a dry land guy.
I know how you feel about fish people.
No, fish people are the worst, okay?
Scuba, scuba.
I think you should give it to me.
Scuba, scuba.
What?
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
You know, baby.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
That was a party.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
I agree. I am Greg the Dive Master. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Casey the Tobacco Nut, Jerry the Diver Guy, Eric Douglas, Pete from Scuba Board, rounding out the crew. So Pete just said that this was your cavern dive instructor, let you dive?
No.
This
is apprentice instructor.
Apprentice.
This is just before I took the full cave course.
Okay.
It's cavern, intro, apprentice, full cave.
And he almost let you die twice.
Four steps.
Just to kind of drill home a point or something, or what?
Exactly. They want to see you make a mistake, because once you make a mistake, we can actually talk about why you made mistakes.
If you live through it, hello.
Anyone who's been on an anchor line where the current is ripping, what do? Hand over hand down that anchor line till you get into the lee of the boat you're going on, right?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just it's an anchor line mentality. And Little River is one of the highest flowing springs we had. And so I was pulling through this cavern, looking at my line, because you always have to have a continuous line to the surface. And I missed the decision. It actually makes a T, where one line and there's two lines that go off of it. Well, one sort of goes behind you, and the other one goes in front of you. So I didn't see that extra line. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you get there, you drop a cookie, what we call dropping a cookie. You place a marker where you came in, so when you come back, you know, oh, that's where I went.
Yeah, you actually, you know, when CJ and Bubble Boy are in the studio and Bubble Boy drops a cookie, I think it has a totally different meaning.
Totally different thing.
But underwater,
the dark side, thing. We do have cookies.
Okay. And
so anyway, I went down that path, and I'd been in Little River before, but I missed that tee. I kept looking for the tee. Where's the tee? Mm-hmm. But I had I was too focused. I didn't have my situational awareness. I wasn't taking in everything.
Yeah.
And so I had that anchor line mentality. I blew past that decision. Coming back, guess what? I let myself not take the road I should have taken, and I took the wrong road.
Uh-oh.
So both of those mistakes could have killed me. And it made me take an assessment of where I was, why I was wanting to cave dive. Is this a thrill? Am I trying to prove something? Or was I really serious about the craft?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really serious about the craft. So I changed my whole attitude about how fast I'm going to go through a cave.
Well, that would make sense. But at what point did you realize you had made the mistake? Or did he jump in and say, hey, hello, Pete, you're going the wrong way? He pulled your fin.
He pulled my fin, and he made a rather obscene gesture indicating that I was dead.
Interesting. Okay. I was going to say, he didn't say you were number one. There was another gesture for that, or there's another?
It was a completely different gesture.
Huh.
Different finger.
He said you were floofed.
You've been floofed. Okay. All right. So, but that happened not once, but twice. So that was one thing. The other thing is that a quick story?
I missed the same tee going back.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And instead of taking the tee and exiting the cave like I was supposed to do, I took the one that I didn't see in the first place. I was heading back into the cave.
Mm.
Little River has this one circuit that's just in a complete circle.
Yeah.
And you have a tee coming off of both sides of it. And so you've got to be cognizant of what you're doing. So you only have so much air.
Right.
If you waste time, you're not going to exit with enough air, which means you drown. There's nothing down there worth dying for.
Well, true.
So take your time, learn the craft. Don't swim past what you've learned. Don't go past your training and your expertise.
Plan your dive. Dive your plan. Stay within your limits.
Amen, brother.
Jerry the Diver Guy, what do you think? Is this sounding more appealing to you, or are you having second thoughts? What do you think?
All I can tell Pete is if he'd missed it the third time, what's he going to flip up?
He was going to.
He doesn't run out of fingers.
Good point. I don't know. But I
just tell you, y'all can keep the cave. The cavern's fine with me, but
yeah.
I'm not too much into the cavern part.
But you hope to apply some of these skills to maybe wreck diving, like you was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That poses a question. Everybody says you do a wreck diving course and you learn penetration. If you do a cavern class, you learn penetration. So what's the big difference in them? I mean,
I don't know that there is. What do you think, Pete? Is there?
I think there is a difference because the environment's different.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into a wreck, you have pretty obvious hallmarks, navigation points. And it's a lot of people do what they call progressive penetration. They go in 50 feet, they come back out. They go in 75 feet, they come back out. So they keep learning the wreck as they go in, and they may dive this wreck a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In a cave, it's a solution. Everything is rounded. Everything is soft. So there's not a whole lot of clear markers that you can say, oh, here I am. You've got to follow a line. caves are far longer. I mean, there's one place at Peacock where I go in one hole, and almost a mile later, I come out another hole. You don't have that in a wreck.
Yeah. He said hole, soft, penetration, all within 30 seconds. I think wrap it up here.
And floofing.
Yes. Let's just stop while we're still on the air for another week. Till next time, remember, it is always better. Where, gang?
Down. Yeah, where Twitter. Better.
Safe diving, everyone.
Each little clown here, no heart of jam here, under the sea. Each little slug here, cutting a rug here, under the sea. Each little snail here, no heart of whale here, that's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in luck here, down in the muck here, under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.